The next is a message which the Lord gave to Brother Joseph about humility, and we would like to share with you this message. Joseph will be sharing it in Italian, I will be translating into English. The Lord gave this message to Brother Joseph for us, for our community here, and we want to share it with you, dear brethren. It's a message on humility. This message is for me, says Joseph. The Lord is teaching me so many lessons. The Lord helped me to see something. All the gifts of the Spirit, healing, apostleship, any gifts we want to have, you cannot have it without humility. Yes, you can have it, actually, but it will be good for nothing in your life without humility. Humility is like the entrance door to enter into the will of God. Let's start with the scripture. 1 Peter 5. We will read some scriptures about it. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. One way the Lord showed me this scripture was also for me, who am an elder. I need to apply to me as well. I need to also be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. This is good for everybody, also for the elders. We who are elders, let's submit ourselves to the Lord and be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Angel is saying, so when we are proud, God is actually against us, he resists us, and that's the last thing we want to do, to have God resisting us and fighting against us. I don't want that. Amen. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. This is the fruit of humility. If you walk in humility, you have fruits. Fruits of humility and fear of the Lord. And that will be riches, honor, and life. We all want to be rich, but without paying the price. There are two kinds of riches, right, Angie? One riches are from devil. Like the devil told Jesus, worship me and I'll give you everything. In the churches, there are rich people, but it's the devil's blessing. They are rich because they love the money. They don't respect anybody. They don't have the Lord in their life, truly. They think it's God's blessing over them, but it's not God's blessing. It's the devil's. It's the devil's blessing. Their riches are a fruit of their selfishness. And then there are riches that come from God. And those riches come through trials, usually, and through tests. God first tests you, then he gives you the riches. Like the people of Israel, 40 years in the desert, and only who made it through that test went to the promised land. I'm just saying, I was thinking of Abraham. Abraham's fruit, because he was humble, there was so many blessings God put upon him. Just because he had the fear of God and he was humble. Well, Abraham passed the test of Isaac, and because he did that, God blessed him. Let's be careful when God blesses us with riches, with wives, whatever. Let's not take that from God and take off from God. Oh God, thank you for the car, for the work, for the husband, for the wife. But this is for me, okay? Now, it's not for you. God gave you a house, but maybe God will ask you, okay, now I want you to use the house for me. What? I need to go on the floor and give my bed to the brethren? No, no, no. I won't do that. Just to be saying, you know, many times I slept on the hallway because I didn't have a bed. Let's read Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Which is the true instruction, the true school? It's not your university. It's not your where you get your diploma and you become an engineer with that diploma, and then you have a boat on the river and you're going to have 2-3 Mercedeses because you have a diploma. No. The true instruction, the true school is the fear of the Lord. It's a school that teaches you wisdom, which sometimes it can be through poverty. The instruction can be through poverty. And before honor is humility. If you truly want honor, if you really want honor, you need to walk in humility. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, which shows the gifts of the Spirit, humility is not there. In that list is not humility, in 1 Corinthians 12. It doesn't say to some he gave tongues, to some miracles, to some humility. Not even about love it talks there. Why? Because humility, just like love, it's something too important and superior to the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. Humility and love are superior to the miracles, to the prophecies, to healings, to everything. But humility is a gift? No, humility is not a gift. That's another point I will bring up. Humility is a choice. It's not that you can say, oh, well, I'm proud and it's God's fault. He never gave me the gift of humility. No, no, he gave it to you, but you didn't choose it. It's not a gift, it's a fruit. Humility is a fruit. If you choose Jesus, if you choose God's will, humility is a very important gift, so he didn't put it in 1 Corinthians 12. God put this gift at the disposition of everybody, everybody who is willing to truly exercise it. Humility is a choice. It doesn't exist the gift of truth or the gift of honesty or the gift of loyalty. These things are choices. Angela is saying these things are a foundation for the Christian life. Exactly. Exactly. Joseph is saying you can fall, you can make mistakes and not have humility. The just falls 7 times, but he gets up again. You can choose to get up. 70 times 7 you can sin, but what happens? You need to repent and change. If you're a Christian, you can make mistakes, but you cannot continue in that mistakes. You can make a sin, but you cannot continue in that sin. There was a Pope, I don't remember his name, who said, to sin, it's human, but to persist in that sin, it's diabolical. That was a good quote from this Pope. This time it was infallible. I agree on this. So dear evangelical, don't be afraid to use some good quote from a Pope. If he got it good, he got it good. It's the Lord. Don't be too proud to use their quotes. We should learn from each other. Have humility to learn from each other. Let's get out of our cages of religions and love each other, okay? Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 12. We can have all the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but without humility, we will not see the Lord. Let's think about this point. Read Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and Revelation 3, 14 up. Talks about Laodicea. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 talks about those who say, we did miracles in your name, we did this in your name, we did this in your name. And Jesus says, yeah, okay, but I don't know you. How are you called? Well, I'm called the Church of the Righteous. We preached every Sunday to our benches, and we even did miracles. Do you remember those people that we delivered in your name? Yeah, I remember, but I don't know you. Matthew 7:21-23. What am I trying to say with this? I repeat, we can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12, but without humility we cannot see the Lord. Continuing in the message, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. What is humility? Let's say what humility is not. Humility is not being perfect, okay? Always being loving and always being perfect, that's like New Age, right? It's like a New Age, always pleasing everybody, pleasing everything and everybody. It's not humility when you let your wife or your husband do whatever they want. I am humble and I submit to you, dear husband. You want to watch TV all day long and you don't let me go evangelizing. I submit to you in the spirit of humility and I do your will. This is not humility. This is silliness. There is a true humility and a false one. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So the spirit of love is not always, the spirit of God is not always love and giving the other cheek. It shows that it's a spirit also of power. It shows that it's also a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So you can give corrections, but of course always in love and in humility. But it doesn't mean that you let them walk all over you. You're just humble and you let them walk all over you. No. You stand up for the truth in love. And like that you walk in God's will. You walk in humility. But walking in humility doesn't mean you walk in stupidity. It's just like a husband or a wife and parents that they have a son who are just selfish. They just want their motorbike and do what they want. In that moment, you say, I love you. You're humble towards them in your talk. But you say, you know what? There are some rules in this house. You cannot do what you want, smoke marijuana in this house and whatnot. Just like in an atheistic house, you cannot have the Bible. Well, like now, in my house, we are Christians and we want the Bible. We want the Bible. So, the Spirit of the Lord is love, humility, but in love and humility, being a Christian means being humble, but in the same time, having the laws that are in the Bible put in practice. It's not that you are humbly so humble that you don't follow what God asks you. You know, rules are good for you. Rules are very good for you because they protect you. They protect you. The walls around the fortress are not a way to stop you from going out, but it's a way to stop the enemy from coming in. That's what the walls are about. Listen to Psalm 119. Read Psalm 119 often. It's a beautiful psalm. Talks all the time about thy law, thy statutes, thy law, thy statutes. Remember that the rules and the laws are good for you because they protect you. So we talked about that the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are not what's important. It's important to know the Lord, to have the true values, humility, the true gifts. Let's read Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Everybody wants the honor and the glory in the world.
in Christ, we need to learn to want His honor, His glory. Sometimes our flesh yells, no, I want some honor for myself as well. Well, if you start to take the glory for yourself, you're going to become like the devil. You need to fight, okay? Don't succumb to this selfishness. It's natural to be proud. It's natural to be selfish. We have to learn to be humble. Before honor is humility, we need to teach ourselves this. You know, the first disciple to train is ourselves. Every day, on your knees, call on Jesus. Jesus, teach me humility. If I would have to choose between all the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, miracles, healings, and on the other side, humility, we should not have any hesitations what to choose. Choose humility, because out of that humility, all the gifts would come. Amen. But those gifts without humility will bring us in the ditch. The devil had gifts. The devil was doing miracles. He was having all the gifts. The devil could do miracles. And he was an archangel, the devil, in heaven, right? What did he miss, the devil? What did Lucifer miss? Humility. He missed humility. And that's why he became the devil. Open 1 Corinthians 12 and look at the last verse. 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Just finished all the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, healings, tongues. But now I'll show you a more excellent way. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What does that mean? Excellent? Maximum. Better than this you can't have. Excellent. What's better than miracles? Oh, how I would like to be able to touch anybody whom I see sick and heal them. I would love that. But there is a more excellent way to this, which is not in 1 Corinthians 12 in the list of the gifts. And what's that way? The next chapter, verse 13. And it says the fruit of love is more excellent and more superior. It's superior to all the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is like the weapons, the shield, the sword. But all these things come from what? From something else, which is the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Think and no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, believeth all things. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. In our church, in our community, we emphasized a lot how to evangelize, how to be active for the Lord, getting out of Europe and United States, preparing refugees, doing it for Jesus, not just to save your skin, but doing it for Jesus. And we emphasized a lot also how to get out of the churches. And sometimes I feel we are a little bit behind with the things of the Spirit, humility, love, the true gifts. And I feel that the Lord is leading us to grow in love, in humility, in the basic things, the joy of our salvation, knowing Jesus closer. It's not needed to pray and to ask God, God, give me gifts of the Spirit, tongues, miracles, and whatnot. You know what? Just get yourself closer to Jesus and these things will come. Just get yourself closer to the Lord. Live closer to the Lord, more in Him. Let Him live in you. Waking up in the morning, go to the husband and talk with him. And talk with him like you talk with a friend. Don't talk with him like you talk in church. Oh, dear, big God, Holy One, Glorious One, and so on. God doesn't care so much about that. He cares about your love. He doesn't care about all the things that you... All the things that you put it value on. Doesn't matter so much. Love is the only thing that values. No, like Martha and Mary. Jesus corrected Martha and said, do like Mary. And here is us. We are like Martha. We serve him. We talk with him. We serve him. We do this for him. We evangelize. We heal the sick. And we prophesy, and we interpret tongues, and we preach the gospel, and we do this, and we do that. And Brother Joseph yells and screams and preaches. But most important than this is waking up in the morning and saying, Jesus, Jesus. That's all you need to say. He understood. If you just say Jesus, breakfast, lunch, dinner, 100 times a day, just say Jesus. He understands. This word that you said, it says everything. This word contains all the tongues all over the world. Just say Jesus. And Jesus sees if you're calling with all your heart, or with half a heart, or because you want to impress. When you have a problem, call His name. Call His name. He's God. He understands you. He knows your thoughts before you think them even. He said all the hairs on your head are numbered. I'm convinced that He knows even the atoms in our body. How many are the atoms in our body? I don't know. Yeah, more than the sand of the sea. Billions and billions of atoms. God knows them all. God knows them all. It's enough we say one word. You're in trouble? You have spiritual problems, husband, wife, financial problems, at work. You have problems with drugs. You cannot get out. You have family problems. It's enough to say one word, Jesus. David fell in pride with Bathsheba and counting the people. Read 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 24. And what did Samuel tell Saul when Saul lost his kingdom? He said the following, 1 Samuel 15:17. Samuel said, when you are little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? So when he was little in his own eyes, when he was humble, he became king. But he became proud. For Samuel 15, Saul spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he showed himself more merciful to God. God said to exterminate them because they were idol worshippers. And he did not want anybody to contaminate Israel. That's why. But Saul did not want to obey God. And he showed himself more merciful. And he kept Agag, the king. Let's go further. Verse 26. 1 Samuel 15:26. And Samuel said unto Saul, because you rejected the word of the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel. So Saul became proud. He was not anymore little in his own eyes. And he lost the kingdom. What did the devil do? Let's read Isaiah 14. Let's see the story of Satan. Let's see how Satan had his story. Isaiah 14, 12 through 19. Let's read it, the story of the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Lucifer, son of the morning. Verse 13, for you said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So the devil had pride here. So the first sin of the devil was what? Pride. Lack of humility. Attention on lack of humility. This is the number one trick of the devil. What did the devil tell Eve? It's not true, you will die, you will become like gods. What does this statement mean? It means pride. Lack of humility. Jesus said, blessed are the humble, they will inherit the world. Look at the world today. Every conflict, every divorce, every violence, every evil is because of pride. Humility could solve everything. Humility of Jesus could solve everything. Jesus could solve everything. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior of humanity. It would be enough a little bit of Jesus, and there would be no more famines and wars, and there wouldn't be any more need of all the problems. We wouldn't need all the banks and nothing. We would live in peace. Verse 14, Isaiah 14, 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. 19, but you are cast down out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Isaiah 14. This description, it describes when the devil will be bound in the bottomless pit, which is in the center of the planet. In other words,
under the stones, like a carcass trodden under feet. Read it in Revelation 20. It says that the devil will be bound for 1,000 years in bottomless pit. I think the bottomless pit is in the center of the world. If we want to be like the devil, let's not be humble. We will be like little devils. Attention, I don't counsel it. Any problem, any argument is always pride and lack of humility. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, it's true. We all have problems in our church, with our sons, with our daughters, with our brethren. The devil fights us all. And we all have sins that we need to fight against. Jesus gave me a little word, and I want to read it to you. He said like this to me, sons and daughters, humility is not just a good sermon. It's part of my holiness and part of my grace. You need this. It's an essential thing so you can stay in my presence. Without humility, you cannot stay close to me. As it is written, Hebrews 12:14-15, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews 12:14-15. Jesus continues with the message. My humility is always absent in the life of those who choose to walk away from me, those who close their heart, those who choose violence and dishonesty. The contrary of humility is pride. Pride who looks for its own interest, doesn't look for the interest of others or of God. Pride is the spirit of Satan, and with its pride, he guides the nations to wars. He guides the nations to hate. He guides the families to divorces, the young people to rebellion, to choose the wrong roads and to waste their lives. But my humility is always present in the life of those who chose to live in communion with me. Humility is present in my blessing over the people, because truly I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. It's not true that my grace is for everybody. My grace is for those who choose to walk close to me in my spirit of obedience. And over those, I will let my grace fall. My grace is my power, so you can do my will. You can win the evil which the enemy wants to put on you and on the world. And specifically to you, my sons, because you are my sons. Walking in my humility is not just a good counsel, but it's indispensable so you can have a happy life in my will and blessed by me. End of message from Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. May God help us, says Angela, to learn this, to be humble and learn love. A question. Question from Angela. In some Bibles it says charity instead of love. Is it the same thing? Let's go look in Greek. Charity or love in Greek in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape. Agape. It is love. It's the same thing. Thank you, Jesus.